welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council on Monday the 24th of June 2024. Our first item on the agenda is apologies for absence. Do we have any at all?
We have lots of apologies,
for absence.
Yes.
So I've read that we have them from Dan Evans, Dan Evans is a tennis player, isn't he?
We've got apologies from Ollie Davey, Steve Gazzard, Matt Hall, Nick Hookway, Ian Kervan, David Poor, Mike Rosser, Joy Whips, and Dan Wilson.
Not Evans.
Are there any others? David Poor.
David
Poor, yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll keep it. I'm tempted to ask, is it something I said?
No.
But no, okay. That's great, thank you. We don't have any public speakers tonight. Item number two on the agenda is the council meeting minutes. To confirm and sign as a correct record the minutes of the annual town council meeting held on the 13th of May. Councillor Paul, you start.
Can we accept the minutes?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a proposal in a second before accepting those minutes. All those in favour? Thank you very much, everyone. That's unanimous. Item number three on the agenda is matters arising from the council meeting minutes for information only. Are there any matters, Lisa?
No.
There are no matters arising. Item number four is declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. So members are to declare any interests they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Do we have anybody at this stage who wishes to declare any interests at all? And please, if as usual, if you think of any when we reach that item, that agenda item, please let us know. Okay, so we don't seem to have any of those. We can shuffle the agenda a little bit so that Councillors Scott and Trail can do their bit now, and I believe they have another meeting to go to, and then we will return to the agenda. So we will move to, effectively, we'll move to the end of agenda item six, County Council's report. Councillor Scott and Trail.
Thank you very much. Shall we just take any questions if you like?
Do we have any questions?
Where the potholes going to be filled?
do we have any questions other than that question?
No, because there's one down at Exton, one of the traffic lights, and that one's terrible. Mm.
That is in the programme, along with one that's outside of the Mexican. You've got the Southwest Water Cover, again outside the Mexican. That will be repaired week after next, over a weekend. Albion Street, you've got issues up there with sewerage and clean water. So the sewerage pipes, it's five issues up there. The normal cold water is now going into the BT ducts, so that's being sorted out. And I went there today and asked that Clarence Road be turned into a one-way system. So you come down Albion Hill, traffic's turning right, you've got traffic parked on the left, and then you've got a vehicle coming up from the police station, which means nobody can get through. So I did that today. The one you're talking about now, down the traffic lights at Mill Lane, that is programmed, but we're still waiting for the contractors to actually do all the work. There is a programme of works which are scheduled, however the workforce, contractors, they are way behind at the moment, so apologies for that. But as normal, if you see anything, please report it. It's best that you go through yourselves or residents make those reports, because it goes on an automated system, which is like.
Yeah, Chair, can I just check, Lisa, did you send the report that I sent on to you a couple of months ago about where we were with service repairs, the number that's been to all the council about it, yeah.
Can I just ask Councillor Charles, the South West Water thing's on Albion Hill, that's an emergency work where something's failed again, is it?
That's right, so they have one licence, should have finished today, Wednesday. However, there are, they found some other issues, so that's likely to be extended. And then tonight, as we come through Rose Street by the old bank there, Barclays Bank, there's an issue with the pipes there, which go up to Tower Street.
Right.
Which got called in again this morning, because they were there over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pumping out when we arrived.
Councillor Andrew Choi and then Councillor Kagan. Andrew.
Yeah, talk about holes and things. I'm not sure who is actually responsible for land. It's Magnolia Centre just outside the car factory. There's a missing pipe cover or drain cover, and it's been missing for quite a long time, so I was surprised if it hasn't been reported yet.
Have you reported it?
I suppose I will then. It's been in that state for quite a long time.
The problem with something like, my apologies, Mr. Mayor, I don't know where you're talking about. So, if it's on private land, it's private land to deal. If it's utilities, it's utilities to deal with. So therefore, if you report it, then the relevant people can be informed to get it fixed. If you get stuck, give me a call.
To complicate the Magnolia Centre, there's three ownerships. You've got HMP, which is Highway Maintained Public Expense. You've got County Council ownership, which is County Council land, so the two are not the same. But then you've got private ownership. As Jeff said, if you give us the information, I'm looking to buy.
And as we know, all the land in there is, it's a bit of patchwork, isn't it? So
The entire of the Magnolia Centre is a patchwork of ownership.
Councillor Kagan, I'm afraid.
Thank you. Thank you for the detailed explanation of all the work that's been undertaken. But I am a little bit concerned when you say programme works and you give the excuse that the contractors are very busy. But the A376 is a major thoroughfare between Exeter and Exmouth. And that patch of tarmac at Bog Mill Lane on the traffic lights at Exeter has been like that for a considerable amount. Can you just give us an indication of when they expect to repair it? Is it imminent, or is it going to be long term, Jeff?
Well, Chairman, we'll send you something in writing tomorrow evening to you.
Sorry?
We'll send you something in writing tomorrow evening to you.
Okay.
We'll get an estimated time tomorrow by email. They'll check it out and they'll email.
Right. Fine. Super, because it is a major thoroughfare. It is the A376 after all. And it should have been done by now.
If Richard or Jeff emails me, and then I'll circulate the information.
Saying that it's in programme is not sufficient.
I'll come back on that for me. It is not an emergency repair. It's service repair.
It's not an emergency repair, but it could damage people's bicycles, cars, etc., etc. Sorry, Jeff, but I don't agree. It needs doing. It needs doing soon.
Councillor Graham DC. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you. Evening, councillors. May I just ask, do you know about the situation in Douglas Avenue where the gas works are taking forever? They keep coming across serious problems, and Douglas Avenue is due to be resurfaced, I understand now, in September. And I don't know about the pavement, it's a bit of a patchwork. I don't know whether it's you guys or EDDC, but I think it's you. Where they're continuously digging out into the pavement area, it is. Quite a patchwork of varying standards. So I just really want to try and sort of keep on top of the Douglas Avenue scenario, because it seems to be running a long way behind schedule, and I just wonder if you could give us an update on that. Thank you.
That is Wales and West as a contractor. Yep. I'll speak to the enforcement officer again tomorrow, but that is checked on a weekly basis, and the local highways officer for that area is Saxon. Again, excuse me, I'll contact her tomorrow and I'll send a little reply through Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any further questions at all? Okay, do either of you want to say anything more at all?
I just want to draw everyone's attention to some highways are important, by the way, people, but as the county council, there are a lot of things going on other than just highways. Drawing attention to Wednesday in the audit committee. So I have here the papers from the audit committee. audit may be something of a dry topic. If you've been using it in a private business, if we look at how the county council works, the entire point of audit is good governance and service improvement. So there's two sections that are of extreme importance for anyone who's interested in that, SEND and children's services in general. So I would encourage anyone that has an interest in any of the topic areas to take some time to read the audit reports to understand where the county council currently is in terms of supervision to children. So generally we're talking people who are 18 or if they've been in care under 25. I'd be interested, do we have any questions or we will buy rates for an authority that has a £1.8 billion budget, of which high rate is 90 million.
I don't think there's many questions that, there's many questions I'd like to ask about things like this, so children's provision and all that.
I'm
happy to email them as I get them. And actually, thanks, you know, that kind of document, although I'm not reading it all, might provide some answers, just in terms of what things cost.
And for those of you who are interested, it's quite a lot, but it's not just about how things cost, it's about how things work as well.
Yeah.
So, governance is extremely fine. I know it's in your agenda there, you've got your own governance arrangements that you're talking about later on, so governance is an important topic in local government. But for anyone who thinks it is a mistake, so. But if anyone has any questions on the job, I know you obviously it's a great interest of yours,
yeah,
if you want to come offline and discuss it, because to be fair, the more feedback you get in terms of understanding your people's lived experience, etc.,
okay,
the better it is for us to, you know, to design and deliver services that people need.
I really appreciate that. Councillor Manny Chapman.
Oh, thank you. Richard, children that have need help in the classroom, if they go to an academy school, I take it counties still help them?
Yeah.
So
has that increased?
Every child is allocated money per year, per head, regardless of whether they're an academy, a local authority, maintain or whatever. Where the cost differences tend to come, so if you need to look at a child with EHCP or you need to look at anyone that's in the SEND spectrum, where the cost difference comes compared to the DSG grant, which every child gets, it's a dependency on whether or not they're placed in mainstream, whether or not they're taken out into special provision in mainstream, or whether they're taken out into specialist schools that are not in mainstream. I mean, you see the cost escalate as you go up that elevator in effect. So there's some really good information. It's chapter, it's agenda item 8. If you want to have a look at it, you'll be able to see all the costings per child, depending on what provision they're getting on average at this moment in time. The DSG is on average £4,500 per pupil. Now the average specialist school placement is £56,000. So you can see how the difference.
There's a hell of a lot of money.
Correct.
Didn't the county sort of put more money in the pot, didn't they?
So a couple of things that you're possibly talking about. So we have increased the budget several years in a row. I don't think the budget needs to increase. I think we need to control the costs more appropriately, which is what we discussed this morning. But I can tell you the meeting we're in this morning was extremely frank and contained a lot of swear words. But it was a great conversation and we got a lot of business done. If you look at, you're possibly talking about the safety valve.
Yeah.
So the safety valve, effectively, we have a 9-year agreement with government, which won't change if Labour comes in because it's already signed, it's already sealed. If it's going to change, it'll only change it for big, small variations. But we have a 9-year agreement to get the overspend under control, to bring the budget back into balance, and effectively the Department of Education will fund approximately half of the current deficit that's sat on the balance sheet. So when we talk about it as a deficit, it's not a deficit, it's spent money. Yeah, it's just legally sat there as a deficit. But it doesn't exist, it's gone, it's out the door. So it's a bit of a misnomer to call it a deficit, but that's what it is in terms of the legal aspect of it. Effectively, what we will then have to do is capitalise and borrow to pay for the rest.
Okay.
But you're looking at a current situation, if nothing was done, it'd be on a quarter billion by the end of the next financial year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
and it works very well. And I'd just like to say to anybody that's listening, you just got to be patient. You've got to be patient because there are a lot of children or adults, whatever, are in this system. You've just got to be patient. It does work. It does work. I've got a granddaughter in it and she gets help and she goes to the mainstream school. So that's good. That's good. So I just want to say something good about it. Thank you, Chair.
Just go back to one response, and I'm not going to agree or disagree with quite about whether it works or not. I'm sure we can spend a great time talking about it. I'm sure Joe, our chairman, is someone that works in it. You'd have an opinion on your own. What I would say is, as a moral imperative in terms of how we deliver special educational needs, and that's for two reasons. Firstly, every child deserves an education. And unfortunately, the way the resource allocation works at the moment, we're perhaps taking away the resource from the children that don't need help or assistance. And we need to understand that. But the other moral imperative is the child should be in the same school as its peers. And if it needs support, that support should be provided within the school environment that its friend, he or her friends go to, their peer group is in, their social groups in, their neighbours are in. And then we'd have the exceptions of the children whose need is so great that we provide specialist cover for them in specialist schools. So outside financial packages, the moral imperative to me is just as important.
Thank you very much indeed. We will have a chat at some point, Richard, definitely. I'd like to have a chat about that, definitely. Okay, so if we have no further questions, thank you very much for coming, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers.
See you all later. Cheers, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, so we will now move to agenda item 5. We don't have to move this part, please. Agenda item 6, we are just receiving and considering reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, and the town clerk and deputy clerk, district accountant, councillors as appropriate. So you just need to note all of these, is that right? I don't think there's any with any recommendations in.
No, planning committee, we need a proposal and a seconder,
yeah,
but all the others are for noting.
Okay, so I guess I need to present the minutes of the planning committee on the 7th of May, 20th of May, and 3rd of June. Does anybody have any comments? Councillor Tim Dunper?
I'll second those.
Okay, thank you very much. So we did. That's the only one we actually need to vote on. So all those in favour of accepting those minutes? Thank you very much. Anybody against? And anybody abstaining? Okay, so those are accepted. You?
Yeah.
Cool. So now we move to the community organisation liaison panel. Cole, are we not going to get a verbal update, are we?
David chairs, but Pauline's the vice chair.
That's what
it is. It's actually David, but so I'm just trying to find the minutes. What should I say? Two things really. There was an update on the Rashid and D-Day, which I thought myself was absolutely appalling, and I'm sure that Graham behind me will say the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody connects the town council with it, it's not true. It was the Rashid and D-Day themselves. The mic broke down.
Mm-hmm.
They did an order of service. The poor piper was ready to do his little amount. No. Cutting that completely, we have 2-3 minutes of silence.
Yes,
2-3 minutes of silence. If they didn't know where they were, I had taken off some water services to give to the lifeboat chaps, and the person who was in charge of the sea cadets actually had to come and look to see where they were, because they had no idea. They were all looking at each other. And I mean, nobody could hear anything, and there was very, very few people there because it wasn't advertised. But I'm just reporting this because I think if somebody comes to you and say the town council did a very bad job on D-Day, it wasn't us.
Yeah.
We did offer our help, but they didn't want to take it. So I think that from that point of view wasn't very good. Another thing came up on the which I suspect Tim might report. Did you go to the health library men?
Oh,
no.
Oh, no, no.
No. Another thing was that the MIU at Exmouth Hospital, they put out in the paper that they've just taken it over, the actual hospital themselves has taken it over. And they put in the paper that they're going to be open from 8 till 8. Well, they discovered they haven't got enough people to open it 8 to 8. So I know a lady who actually had to have her head glued in on a Sunday afternoon, and the ambulance tried for an hour and a half to get through to Exmouth Hospital, and it was closed. And, well, we presume it's closed, nobody answered. And so it's really appalling. They're going to have to put something in the paper to say that they haven't got enough staff.
Can
because
you,
people are going to be, go there and
can
it's
I just
going to be
closed. Through the
yeah.
Can you just reiterate what you said at the beginning? Are you saying Exmouth Hospital has taken over the minor injuries unit?
Yeah, it's
from
the
who?
Devon Exmouth Hospital.
So the
yeah.
MIU belongs to the Royal Devon Exmouth
yeah,
Hospital.
It was Claremont. Claremont had it.
Claremont was staffing the minor
yeah.
injuries
well,
unit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now they're not.
No,
so it's back in the trust.
So now it's the foundation trust have taken it over.
Yeah. Just the way Pauline said it, it looked like hospital was taking over.
Yes, it has.
The Royal Devon
Exeter
Hospital.
Yeah.
It's the foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's
yeah.
fine.
But, you know,
and
so
and we're
I'm just letting people
working.
Know this because
yeah.
if people try the hospital and find, you know, like the weekend or late at night, there might not be anybody there. I mean, this poor ambulance bloke tried for an hour and a half to try and get her head glued because she didn't want to go to the RD&E because she's 87 and she didn't want to wait hours. And it was just a simple thing, but unfortunately, they didn't have anybody on either. But if it's somebody like that, you know, it's awful to think that's an hour and a half of ambulance time wasted when they could have been looking at somebody else who was sick.
Can we not then through the web board or whoever write to the Royal Devon and Exeter Trust and say, can you clarify what's going on?
Yeah, when's the next health and wellbeing board meeting? Because I think it's something that we can raise through the web.
Well, it's
definitely
a serious matter,
yeah.
but it needs to be
yeah.
brought to someone
yeah.
today.
Especially
yeah.
in the holiday season, you know, if you've got tourists, and anything happens to them, they want to go to the
yeah.
And it also it helps the RD&E extra.
Yeah.
You know, and people, not everybody's got a car to travel in either.
I went there with my broken shoulder just out of interest.
Yeah.
3 or 4 hours they told me I went to Exeter.
Yeah, I mean they're very good when they're open.
Okay, so
that,
Lisa, you've made a note of that,
yeah.
and you can put that on the agenda for the next
yeah.
next health and wellbeing.
Councillor Tim Dunfer,
yeah.
you need
oh,
to
yeah,
move on.
Yeah, we know about
oh,
the seawall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know about the seawall.
The COLP notes will be distributed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think they are
I
in
there. That was the main 2 points that I think were you know could affect everybody.
Okay.
Tim.
Yeah.
So we,
yeah.
can we accept those notes?
Yeah, we don't need to vote on those ones, we just need to tip
yeah.
them.
All I was going to say is, I'm sorry by the way, I can't put my date down for you for the next meeting. And I'm sorry I didn't attend the last one. But what I was going to say about this issue was that there was talk at a previous web meeting that the Royal Devon University's Trust, as it now is, was taking it over because I think partly because Claremont, you know, with all their new merged responsibilities and all the rest of it up, Graham has found the date of the next meeting, 10th of July.
Okay, cool.
Which, again, I may ask if somebody can go as a substitute for me because I've got twinners here then. So just to say that the point was made that RDU would probably do it better, and it has obviously proved the case that this is not so, and we clearly need to take that up with Web and with any other authorities we can. And I fully agree with what Councillor Fred Cagle said on that.
Can I just come back, Jen, because
yeah,
this is another one as well. Tony said that we haven't got an Admiral nurse at the moment that deals with people with mental health. He's actually raised some money, enough money for an Admiral nurse, and so it's out to tender at the moment. He thinks that the Admiral nurse who lives here actually works in Plymouth. So if she knows there's a job coming here, he's hoping that she'll take the fill out the job in Plymouth and come here because it saves her travelling. And she'd be very good. So it'd be very good if we can get an Admiral nurse here, because that will help a lot of families. Yeah.
One's a start, Fred. One's a start. Right, okay, so
again, this is an issue that's been going on for some time. They've been in and out without more nurses.
Okay, so are we happy to note those minutes? Okay. Right, so now we have the festival events working party. We've got the notes for those. Are we happy
note
those?
No.
Noted. Thank you. The flooding and water quality working party, we've had those notes.
Noted.
Are we happy to know those?
Graham, is there anything you want to add?
No,
to
I was
looking
at the word at the stage, thank you.
Okay.
We have the town maintenance overview working party. Bearing in mind Ian's not here, I think we should probably just note those at this point. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the town premises and assets working party. Are we happy just to note those? Please say if you're not happy just to note them. The tree forum, similarly.
Yes.
Yeah, these are old ones because
we only had verbal updates
at the last meeting, that's why the notes were appended this time so that they're formally noted, but we've had verbal updates on them.
And the waterfront working party.
I'd just like to tell people that the Bristol camp up at Northern Point, that's now open again. It's really fantastic. Anybody who would like to go up there and have a look at it, I'm sure they'd be very welcome. I know he's already asked if the waterfront working party would like to go up there. But it's absolutely marvellous. They take anything up to 240 children, and they've done it a bit like cowboys and Indians, but they've got like a circle of banks. And then the tents are in the middle. But they've worked so hard up there, and it's marvellous for Exmouth to have something like that for children, because it's teaching children that come from the Midlands area, Bristol, anywhere. And that would be near a sea. There was one boy, he never got a cow look like, because he lived in an inner city, and he never saw cows. No, the milk came from cows. You know, it's stupid things, but it teaches them also that how dangerous the sea is.
They do a lot of water activities and that. So I think
we're very lucky that the National Trust, and particularly John Morgan, who's the main instigator of it, has picked it up and taken it.
He's the chap who runs the...
Praxays.
Yeah,
he does
Praxays
as well.
Yeah,
it's really good.
So,
and even local children go to it as well.
Brilliant.
So,
thank you very much. Okay, so all of those minutes are noted. If we could have, bearing in mind the amount of business that we still have to get through, we don't know really how complicated it's going to be, if we could just have fairly brief updates from those who represent the council and outside bodies. Firstly, Fair Trade. If you have an update, Councillor Dunbar.
Yeah, very brief, 2 points. One is that Fair Trade Exmouth Steering Group were represented and took their famous smoothie bike to the Active Travel Day, so that was a good outing. And they're now beginning to prepare for Fair Trade Fortnight, which this year is in September. So that's all I need to say.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Tim at all?
No.
So now we do move to the Woodbury, Exmouth and Budley, Webb Community Health and Wellbeing Board. The notes of the meeting held in March are attached. I guess we've kind of spoken about some of that already in other forums, haven't we? So are we happy just to note those?
Yes. Just one point, Chair, please, and that is that there have been considerable amount of comments since the merger of the Royal and Claremont on the standard of customer service that's been going on up there, and that is, I think, an ongoing issue that we should keep our finger on the pulse on.
Okay.
Well,
very topical. Yeah. That's very good, Tim. Okay. So now we move to the Exmouth and District Allotment Association. Ollie's not here, so we have the... We've got the... Thank you. Have you got a base on that?
Yeah, carry on, it's good.
That's important, mate. Anyway, so yeah, we have those attached. We now have the Twinning Association, Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Yes, well, we're right in the middle of the visit season now. And as you will remember, Joe, you did a speech which was translated for the Dinan visit when our people went across to Dinan in Brittany. And all that went down very well.
Good.
And I gather that I wasn't involved in the visit, but I understand it was a very successful visit. And that's good, they're all back now. But of course, the second part of this is that the Germans from Langevier land on July the 10th, the very same date we've just been discussing, and are here for 5 or 6 days. And I'm desperately trying to sort menu choices and goodness knows what for that. So it's a very busy time, I can tell you. I think that's probably, if there are any questions, you know, please ask.
We'll have a chat about, because obviously I'm struggling to do the day, but we'll see if we can find something in the programme where I can meet them one evening.
Yeah.
If you know, maybe slightly less formally, but I'd be happy to do that if that works.
Yeah, there is a lunchtime thing at the Belmont in Sidmouth, actually, which on Saturday.
Okay, I'll see if that's possible. Yeah. Okay, thank you for that. We now move to the Councillor Advocates for the Police, Councillor Aurora Bailey. Have you got anything at all?
Thank you,
Chair. I've read the emails. I get quite a lot of emails from them.
Yeah, nothing much to report. Same as last month. We've got the Commissioner back, Alison. We're just waiting to sort the bats out, if they are bats. And then hopefully we'll get Exmouth front desk open. And then eventually we'll get our police station, but we're still waiting to see what's happening with the bats. Thank you, Chair.
Also, I believe, thank you, Aurora. Also, I believe we got a, in one of their communications, there was a survey about what you want future policing to look like. I think that's still open, that consultation. So if anybody has received that or would like to see that, it's something you can pass on to residents or anything like that. So, cool. We're happy to note those. Thank you. We now move to the Devon Bus Enhanced Partnership. Councillor Tim Dunford.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, when I went to this towards the end of May, we were still feeling very raw in Exmouth about the new stagecoach services. Mm-hmm. And I think I've made myself a bit of a pain at that meeting, to be quite frank, such that Councillor Andrea Davis, who County Councillor who chairs that, actually said, "Well, Tim, we don't really, you know, we don't want to know all these details about Exmouth." And I was, perhaps we could have this discussed offline. So that was what happened. But I did try and tell them and tell the stagecoach boss the sort of problems that we were having with Brixington services, with Jubilee Drive services, and with the Seafront and Douglas Avenue and the 95 bus service, all of which suffered badly. The 57, main 57 was downgraded from quarter hourly to 20 minutely, so we had one less of those. Delays continue, bunching of buses continues, etc. So all we were promised about improved service, I'm afraid, is not so. And hopefully tomorrow, when we have our next ETP, Transport Partnership, Stagecoach will actually turn up. They have promised us that they will turn up, so we will see what happens. Thank you.
May I say, if they do turn up, there'll be two of them.
Round of applause, sir.
Usually three, actually.
Thank you very much, Tim and Roy. So now we move to Exmouth in Bloom. Councillor Gazzard has given apologies tonight, so we'll leave that one.
Excuse me, Chair.
Yeah.
May I just say something about the District Council?
That's the next item on the agenda.
District Council reports, yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
That's fine. Can we note the fact that Steve Gazzard isn't here and will speak to us next time?
Noted.
Thank you very much.
Can we ask when the Britain and Bloom judges?
Oh, is it July the 18th, I think? I think I read they're not going to do Britain and Bloom.
They're doing
Southwest
in Bloom.
Because the undertaking is for Britain and Bloom is a lot bigger. So I'm fairly sure it's the 18th of July.
Having a rest.
Yeah. A well-deserved rest, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is they're dying off.
Well, this is the thing.
They are, that's true.
Yeah, well,
they've just lost another one, a big one.
It is, 18th of July.
18th of July.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, we now move to District Councillor reports. In terms of what's been happening in the District Council, there's a lot of business is kind of suspended or not really happening. There's not really a lot happening, is there?
No.
But apart from cancellations, a lot of meetings being cancelled, and I do know there's a couple of licensing subcommittees which are happening, but they have to happen anyway. And we had scrutiny last week, which I couldn't get to.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any district council reports? Or because I know Brian, you want to say something,
No.
Okay. Brian, I know you have something you want to talk about.
Well, I'll leave what I was going to say to item 10, if I may. I don't think I want to wax lyrical about H7, so I'm not too happy at the moment. That situation.
Okay. I mean, I think, I think the only thing about item 10 is that is a very specific. I had a little chat with Lisa earlier on, and I do wonder if what Brian wants to talk about is it relevant to item 10 or?
It's probably better if you raise it now, because the built up area boundaries aren't covered under the local plan consultation.
Okay, I can do that.
So yeah, if you do it now, and then when we get to item 10 we can just focus on the local plan consultation topics.
I've had a correspondence from two local people in Bystock Village, and they've discovered that E7 District Council want to move the built-up area boundary. At the moment, Bystock Village is not in the built-up area boundary, but there is an idea that the District Council want to put in. I personally can't see where they're going to gain, because there is no land there apart from access to the ancient forest, which has several fields there that perhaps people have got their eye on for development, shall I say. So I had a long chat with Lisa, and she's very accommodating, and we'd like to bring this up along with other things at a special meeting which Lisa's to determine in the very near future. Thank you very much.
So, do you mind if I just give some context?
Yeah, go for it.
So, Brian's made me aware through strategic planning that the strategic planning committee at East Devon are going to be looking at the proposed development sites on a town by town basis, and all the district councillors are going to be invited to those. I don't think they've done Exmouth yet, but they've done a couple, haven't they, Brian? Because there's been some correspondence circling amongst district councillors and town councillors in Littleham Ward, specifically about proposed development sites in relation to the current consultation, but the broader implications. And Brian's keen to have some feed in to the workshops that Strategic Planning at East Devon are going to be hosting and on which he sits. So I've said I'd be happy to get some dates in the diary where all the town councillors could meet with the district councillors that are going to be representing the town at Strategic Planning to get our input as a town council on what people think about the proposed development sites. And that discussion could extend to the risk to the built-up area boundary, so that Brian can feed that into Strategic Planning as well. So I'll set some dates up. Obviously, it'll be after July the 5th, but I'll get some dates in the diary. And then we can look at all the sites that are proposed for Exmouth. We can look at whether they're preferred or second choice, and tease out anything that you want to be fed back through Strategic Planning at East Devon. Does that sound okay? Yeah?
Thank you. Cassidy.
We'll get to Maddie first, sorry, because it's everyone. Yes, Bystock Village was outside the planning boundary in the local plan and the neighbourhood plan. And Mr. Freeman on planning, they want to move it to include it because it's a field and also the old wall garden there that's had planning refused because it was outside the planning area, and they're thinking of moving it, and this is why the locals, yes, I've had a few emails saying we hope you know what's going on.
Yeah. I think we probably need to be quite careful here.
I've had an email from planning saying that strategic planning saying that this is where they were thinking of moving the boundary so that, you know.
Okay, so what we're saying is that's where they're thinking of moving them, but have they actually said
that they're definitely moving them?
Or have they actually said the motivation behind that in that email? Because I think if they have, fair enough. If not, we need to be really careful.
Well, there's moving a boundary which prohibits you from building in that area.
Yeah.
The fields and the land in that village. It was outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And so moving the boundary to include a couple of fields and other things would automatically assume that it would then be opened up to be put forward for development.
Okay.
And that is what's causing the problem.
Right.
But if Lisa can get as much information. And we can have a meeting.
So one of the residents is, I've spoken to one of the residents today, John, and he said that Councillor Jess Bailey is putting pressure at district council level on, she wants it to be reviewed properly and formally, the built-up area boundaries.
Yeah.
But obviously it's really important that our own councillors are appraised of it so that you can bring it up in your capacity as district councillors.
Yes, she's also having the fight at West Hill.
Yes,
Ottery.
Yes.
That's why Jess is jumping up.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So, Councillor Gray Casey.
Yeah, sorry, just asking for a quick little bit of clarity, please, on these proposed meetings. No, didn't quite follow. So you've got strategic...
Strategic planning are organising meetings on a ward by ward, town by town basis to seek input from the district councillors in those respective wards on the proposed development sites that are going forward to the local plan. It's the opportunity for district councillors, regardless of whether they're on strategic planning committee or not, to feed in their thoughts on the proposed development sites.
So
Brian has said that he really needs the support of the town council to challenge some of the proposed development sites in Exmouth. And so we were talking through how we might be able to facilitate that. And I said probably the best thing is if I organise some meetings and we can look at them, whether we do them on a ward by ward basis or whether we put them all in one, I don't know. I need to have a look because there's quite a few proposed development sites in Exmouth. And then we could invite the district councillors that aren't dual-hatted. I mean, there's only a few, but they could attend. Our district councillors and dual-hatted town councillors We could all look at the proposed development sites, and then our representatives on the strategic planning committee will then have the input from the town council to take forward to strategic planning.
Thank you very much.
That also is backed up by the representations we made during the last round of consultation for the local plan, which was obviously prior to the elections. So I've got all that feedback as well, because we did comment on a site-by-site basis, and I've got all the copies of those representations as well, so I can make those available as well, and that will hopefully...
sorry, can I just ask about the rough timetable for this?
Well, it needs to be after July the 5th, obviously, because everybody's so busy at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
I understand that, but then when the strategic...
I don't think they've said yet when.
This summer, is it the autumn? Have you any idea?
They are imminent, but I don't think they've said specifically when the Exmouth one is.
Okay.
I'll have to have a look at the next.
Sorry,
no, no.
Yeah,
I think I'll
have
to look at the next strategic planning committee agenda to see if they've said which ones have been discussed.
Hold on a sec. We go to Brian, and then to Pauline, and then to Maddie, if that's okay.
Thank you, Lisa. The Bystock Village is already in our neighbourhood plan as an area of special interest. Most of the buildings there are older than Bystock House, which is listed. So theoretically, some of those buildings are very unique. Especially the power supply building on the corner, which I believe is one of the first private electricity companies were built in Exmouth, in the West Country, if not in the UK. There's various other things there. However, I would like to add that if it's possible, and hopefully it would be, to turn it into a conservation area. It's already been through an appeal. And I've got the comments of the officers, which you'll find on the email that was sent to you.
Because there's an aspiration in the neighbourhood plan to designate that as a conservation area, I did quite a lot of research into that. And the district council have resisted it. They've said it doesn't meet the criteria up to now. But whether there's an opportunity for us to feed that in as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we've got reactive to this rather than proactive. The other way around, bigger point. It is because if it's left to their own devices, I can see the opportunities there for a developer, and someone's going to make a lot of money, and it's going to ruin the town. Especially, normally, if we go anywhere near that area, we can't go anywhere, it's the Pebblebed Heaths. We can't do anything, stop it, don't go any further.
So I think the relevance, Brian, is that if they're thinking of extending the built-up area boundary and they're removing the protections associated with the built-up area boundary, then it's imperative that the conservation area appraisal is put in place, because that will afford the protection that you're going to lose as a result of the built-up area boundary.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely relevant that if the built-up area boundary is changing, then you need to look at what protections can be put in place instead.
Mm-hmm.
To protect that development encroaching into that area.
Yep,
so we can bring that up, that's fine.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor
Pauline Stark. I presume that a lot of the sites that they want for development are not in Exmouth itself, they're just outside the boundary or on the boundary.
No, most of them are in our parish. They are within our parish boundary.
So I was thinking of one in particular, which they've tried three times for planning. It's in the green wedge, but it's right on the border.
So we'll be talking about green wedges under item 10, and that's quite relevant. So perhaps hold that thought for a minute.
Yeah, because I just wondered if they were going to move the
Hold that thought.
Right, Councillor Maddie Chapman, and then we will move on.
Thank you. We've been trying for 14 years to get the conservation officer by stop, haven't we, Lisa? We have been on and on and on, and they've resisted it each time. And the reason we stopped the development in Walk Garden was there was a special tree there, which is very, very rare. Not only that, it also has a briar rose
which is very rare, that goes up around it. So it all comes out in the summer. And we took photographs of it, and luckily when it went to appeal, the inspector was absolutely thrilled and turned the planning application down. So that's in John Conley's garden. But we've tried to get conservation, and we keep fighting on it. And the areas that they're coming up with now are Littleham and the Brixington Harleston border with Grimston.
We might need
District councillors or any other town councillors from Lymston to come up, because they'll be after their green wedge.
I think we'll come to the green wedges in a bit, and I know that, well, I certainly hope that if required that they would come and talk to us. Okay, so we'll move on now to agenda item 7, to review and adopt the annual accounts for 2023-24, the income and expenditure accounts, the balance sheet for the year ending, and earmarked reserves and the asset register. So I will hand over to Lisa at this point.
Yep, so these have all been circulated to you. You've got the income and expenditure accounts for the year ending March the 31st, 2024. You've got the balance sheet. You've got earmarked reserves as at March 31st, 24, and you've got the asset register. The asset register doesn't come out very well on the PDF, it's tiny, but we haven't actually added anything this year. So if you do want hard copies, I can print them off for you. Nothing substantially has changed with our asset register. The main thing, I suppose, to record with earmarked reserves is that, as usual, there's a significant amount there that is attributable to SIL receipts, and we still haven't made the contribution to the D9 Way extension. So of the £1,200 SIL that we have in earmarked reserves, £400 of that is legally accounted for the D9 Way extension. But that obviously has the impact that it pushes. It looks like our earmarked reserves are massive, and you know, we're still sort of dispelling this myth that we're sitting on all this money, when actually a lot of the earmarked reserves are there to future-proof us against, you know, future expenditure, etc. So, has anybody got any questions over them? I think they're fairly self-explanatory. Our accounts are always fairly straightforward.
Lisa, have we had an update on our insurance?
Yes, so our insurance is reviewed in October every year.
Yeah.
And we go through a really comprehensive insurance review. Then things like events and special provision.
Well.
Yeah, no, they're all on there. Yeah, and we've got cyber.
Been updated.
Yeah, we've got. So we've actually got our cyber insurance has been taken out with a new company this year, and they came in and ran a dedicated cyber risk assessment, which was really interesting. And I spoke to Alistair about some of the recommendations that were in that report. Our physical insurance was updated in October, and our fleet insurance has been updated. So yeah, they've all been
Excellent.
All been
Thank
reviewed.
You.
I need a proposer.
Yeah. Second member proposal and second that. So proposed by Councillor Sadiq and seconded by Councillor Brian Bailey. So all those in favour of accepting those four things?
Thank you.
That is unanimous. Thank you very much. And now the AGAR, the Annual Governance and Accountability Return.
Right. This is a bit arduous, I'm afraid, but I have to do this. You need to, first of all, you need to review and receive the internal audit report, which has been signed off by our internal auditor. So if you've had a chance to look at the paperwork, you will see that that is all in order, and he has asserted that we're in compliance with all the various checks that he has to do under the internal control objectives. The second thing we need to do is to look at the annual governance statement. This is on page 4 of the AGAR return. It's where you need to positively assert that various things have been put in place during the year. And this is a little bit arduous, but we do have to read these out, and you have to positively assert as a council that you are in agreement. So the first one is that you agree that we've put in place arrangements for the effective financial management during the year and for the preparation of the accounting statements. Do you all agree? That you've maintained an adequate system of internal control, including measures designed to prevent and detect fraud and corruption, and that you have reviewed its effectiveness. You'll recall that the review of our internal control came to our last council meeting, so you have reviewed it.
Yeah.
That you've taken all reasonable steps to assure yourselves that there are no matters of actual or potential non-compliance with laws, regulations, and proper practices that could have a significant financial effect on the ability of this authority to conduct its business or manage its finances. Do you agree?
Agree.
Do you agree that you've provided proper opportunity during the year for the exercise of electors' rights in accordance with the requirements of the accounts and audit regulations? You did last year. The inspection period for this year will start, it'll be, include the first 10 days of July, which is the requirement that we have. So are you happy to assert that you've done that correctly?
Agree.
Are you happy that you've carried out an assessment of the risks facing the authority and taken appropriate steps to manage those risks, including the introduction of internal controls and or external insurance cover where required? Again, the risk assessment came to full council last month.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
That you've maintained throughout the year an adequate and effective system of internal audit of the accounting records and control systems. That's basically the work that Tom does, Tom Stuckey does from Westcotts. He comes in twice a year and he does a really thorough review of all our transactions and audits them. So you're happy with that? Are you happy that you've taken appropriate action on all matters raised in reports from the internal and external audit? There were none, so that's fine. That you've considered whether any litigation, liabilities or commitments, events or transactions occurring either during or after the year end have a financial impact on the authority, and where appropriate have included them in the accounting statements. I'm not aware of anything that's likely to affect our financial stability. Happy? And then in terms of trust funds, you just need to affirm that as the sole managing trustee that you've discharged your accountability responsibilities for the said trust funds, including financial reporting and, if required, independent examination or audit. They don't need independent examination or audit, and I can confirm that the financial reporting is up to date. Happy?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay. So that's the annual governance statement. And then the accounting statements, which is on page 5, is basically a re-representation of the money that's on our, the finances that are on our balance sheet and our income and expenditure, just expressed in a particular way that the auditor requests it. We have to break out money that we received as precept from other receipts. We have to break out staff costs, loan and interest repayments if we have any. There's just a specific format that we have to present those financials in, and they've been signed off by our accountant. So if you are happy with those, I just need a proposer and a seconder that you are happy to sign off the annual governance and accountability return.
Proposer, Councillor Manny Chapman, and I think Councillor Nicholas Aranda first.
Thank you very much.
So, all those in favour?
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
And now we move to agenda item 9, to know that the Mayor's chosen charity for 2024-25 will be Esteem Team Community Interest Company. That's what it sounds like, Community Interest Company. Second?
Explain.
Okay, so they are a charity. Are you going to say please, Councillor Chapman?
Yeah.
Thank you. So they're a community interest company which works with local children and young people, either who are having difficulties at school, so some of the alternative provision that Richard was talking about earlier on, where children can't access school, they will help them. kids' mental health, which I see on a daily basis is fairly appalling right now, and without wishing to go into too many of the, you know, the reasons why that is, there's not a lot of help out there for the minute. And this is a community interest company which I've met with on several occasions. I know people that have worked for them, and they do a great job. And it's interesting to note as well that Richard and some of the work they've been doing with the county council have been, you know, to put facilities in place for them. So I think they see the value of it, and I just think in terms of helping the people that I you know feel passionately about helping, I think it's a worthy thing. Councillor Tim Dunper.
Yeah, can I endorse your choice of charity? And also say that, of course, when we had our Dragon's Den a few years prior to COVID, they actually won one of the pots of money and support. And they've always been extremely thorough and extremely caring in what they do.
Thank you, Tim. And they are really local as well.
That's
right. So, do we note that? Thank you. So now we move to the final item on the agenda, number 10, to consider and respond to East End District Council's local plan consultation. The 8 new specific topic areas only. I cannot stress that strongly enough. So
you want us to respond, Chair?
Are we to respond to the eight new specific topic areas only? And some of them aren't relevant to us. So, I know we have a lot of views on a lot of things about the local plan, the emerging local plan, but we need to, that's not what they're asking at this point, and actually that's why we had that discussion earlier on. So,
do you want me to give a quick synopsis?
Yeah, a quick overview of where we are, and then I think we're going to go through each one.
Yep.
We'll talk about each one. Some of them are completely irrelevant to us. So, Lisa, are you happy to guide us through this
absolutely.
Delicate process?
Yep, absolutely. So, they are consulting on 8 specific areas, and it's 8 areas that they'd said during the earlier stages of consultation that they would have to come back to, plus a couple of extra things. So the first thing is they are consulting on news, housing and mixed site allocations. So basically, since they did the original local plan consultation, 38 new housing sites have come forward across the district, and the district council's assessed those, and there are a number of sites that are deemed viable to take forward to the next round of consultation. One of those sites is in Exmouth, and we're being asked two of them are in Exmouth. One of them, which they are recommending to take forward, is the police station site, where they're proposing 20 dwellings. That's Exmouth 50, that's the name of the site. The second one is Limpstone 17, which is that very small site that's south of Cortland Lane. That's not recommended for allocation due to access constraints. No, it's not actually. That's the, Limpstone 17 is the one that's just north of King's Garden Centre on the right-hand side as you go up. But technically it's in Limpstone Parish. That one's not recommended for allocation due to access constraints onto that, you know, that very narrow road, and also the wildlife value of the site. So we're being asked to corroborate whether we're happy for Exmouth 50, which is the police station site, to be taken forward to the next round of consultation in the plan, where it's proposed to provide 20 dwellings. So it's the police station and 20 dwellings. That's just the housing potential. So I didn't think that was contentious. I think you're probably all in favour of that, aren't you? Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Did you want to comment on any of the other sites? Because there are sites across the wider district, but I've only picked out...
Then at the end, if you've got time, Ned Willing, you get three of the excellent ones first.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we are here to discuss basically the excellent ones, aren't we? Because I think, you know, for us to discuss ones in other parishes is not...
No.
Not really going to be enough.
Exactly.
Councillor Brian Bailey. Sorry.
Thank you very much. May I ask if they intend to have the houses in the police station
as affordable houses, rental houses.
They don't say.
They
don't say, no.
So
that's yeah, so, and I think, just to update you all, the housing needs assessment that we commissioned as part of our neighbourhood plan review, which hasn't yet been shared with councillors, that is quite prescriptive in terms of the recommendations it makes about the type of housing we need based on affordability factors in Exmouth. And we need to think about how we can use that going forward to help influence the type of housing that comes forward. But they don't say, all they're saying is that it would be suitable for 20 dwellings.
Okay, right, thank you.
So we'll go to Councillor DC, Councillor Dumper, and then Councillor Bay, Laura Bay. Frank.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just a couple of things on the police side. Once it's in a conservation area, so that presumably would be addressed. But also when they determine the number of houses, they're almost determining what sort of houses are going to be built. Because generally what we would call affordable social housing is likely to be smaller than, you know, four detached houses or, you know, it's 20 detached houses. So I just don't want that to be too prescriptive on us. If it's possible that we've segregated 25 social houses in there, fine. And that it's not going to just be developed for substantial private houses if we want.
I think we would have an opportunity to comment on that when
thank
the
you.
Detailed plans come forward.
Yeah, I guess.
You
would, but thank you.
I think they probably just look at the square footage and
they
think in broad terms that will accommodate, you know, so many houses.
Yeah, it's not written in stone from this point. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, I don't know if that's like Councillor Stark and then Councillor Duncan, sorry.
I was going to say, will they also include Churchill Court, you know, the Dewsons, because I know they're doing it, but you can count a certain amount when you're doing how many.
So we're not being consulted on that?
No, you're not being consulted, but I was going to say, will that count as part of the housing?
The overall numbers.
So one of the things we're going to talk about in a minute is the neighbourhood area housing requirements, which includes sites on which there is planning permission. That's already factored in.
Can't we push the East Devon to actually buy the police site or the plant that's left over for housing? With
I
their
don't
money?
Know.
No, I was going to say,
know.
If you just try and pressure us, because if they were responsible housing people, then they should actually purchase that land and build on it for council houses. Because that's the last bit of land that is left in Exmouth that could be used for that purpose.
Absolutely.
Where people can, you know, people that are on low income and might not need
to go like that.
And I just think it's really disgusting because I know we used to try and look for sites. And we used to purchase houses as well. And it seems to me as if they don't do anything now.
I think, you know, that's a whole big debate.
That's
a big thing. I completely agree with you that if we could build lots of commercial houses, we should.
They're never going to do it, obviously.
I think it's a case of funding and the fact that...
It's outside the scope of this consultation, though, so
I've
got seven other topic areas to get through.
That was partly my fault.
I was going to take up one or two of the points that Councillor Graham Deasy made, are we expected to sort of give our endorsement individually to these ideas? I mean, I would move that we support development on that site and we oppose development on other sites in it.
Okay, so if we're taking this by side-by-side basis, are we generally, Councillor Bailey, did you wish to say something? And then we'll, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Am I right in saying that along with these houses, we will have a new police station there as well?
Yes.
So the police station will be there, and then the houses as well.
Yes.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah. So are we happy in principle to say that this is fine? Okie dokie.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Right, next.
So the next one is employment land. So again, since they went out to consultation on the local plan, 15 new employment sites have come forward and 8 of those are proposed for adoption, but none of them are in Exmouth. The nearest ones, the Darts Farm, Woodbury Business Park and Greendale. Okay? So unless you specifically want me to comment on that, I won't.
Yeah, I think we need to move on from that one. So.
Can I raise something there, please, Chair?
Yeah.
Can I say that we'd like to comment that we need employment land in Exmouth and we should have...
Oh, we've got McCarthy and Stone instead.
Okay, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that is, you know, I think that is a fair comment to make. I think what Lisa's saying is that if other people were commenting on sites and employment sites in our town, we'd be quite annoyed about it. So it's not our job to necessarily comment on those outside. So Councillor Bailey, and then we will move on. We do need to move on.
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, I heard what you said about other people commenting, but you know, there is not much localisation anymore because people catch buses, trains, they've got private cars, whatever. So I think the statement you made is perhaps a little bit out of date, if you don't mind me saying, because we all move from town to town, village to village. Now, we have the site we mentioned with Darts Farm and Greendale, both of which are on bus routes, which would be ideal. Greendale's got its own bus stop down at the bottom where the bridge is. So I think we could take those into account, and we could recommend, in my opinion, both of them.
I would argue that as a district councillor, you're perfectly entitled to do that because you represent the district as a whole. As a town council, we need to focus on the town. I completely accept what you're saying, Brian.
Well, but members of the town live in the town, but they work out of town.
You can't take over someone else's council role.
Put it this way, is anyone opposed to the principle of employment land, extra employment land being allocated at Darts Farm, Woodbury Business Park or Greendale?
Great idea.
Can I ask a question? Why haven't they thought of the employment land where the old Adore Centre was? That land is still available there, it's employment land.
Well, they haven't got
I'm just asking because
I don't know,
district councillors, perhaps one of you can recommend that as a site. That's all I was asking.
I don't know.
Okay, next point, Lisa, so we're all happy to note those. Next one.
Well, noted.
So the next one is the neighbourhood area housing requirements. So this is quite technical, but in the NPPF, as well as carving up the pie, if you like, of housing numbers across the district, as well as carving it up on a tiered settlement basis, where Exmouth is a tier one area, and you know it goes down tier two, tier three. As well as doing that, they also have to allocate a housing figure based on the neighbourhood plan areas. So any town or parish that has a neighbourhood plan, a designated neighbourhood plan area, you also need to have a housing figure for that designated neighbourhood plan area. And in some cases, they'll be contiguous. They'll be the same if your parish boundary is the same as a settlement area. But anyway, they've come up with some methodology for working out, in compliance with the National Planning Policy Framework, how they're going to allocate a neighbourhood area housing figure for each of the designated neighbourhood areas. And the big debate has been whether they should include windfall properties or exclude them. The recommendation is that they exclude them, I think because they're unpredictable, and therefore, if they exclude them, you know, they're giving you a finite figure. Now, just because they're allocating a neighbourhood figure doesn't mean that it's incumbent on the town or parish council that has an adopted neighbourhood plan to deliver or allocate land for that amount of housing. It's just a reference point, if you like, that if a neighbourhood plan wanted to designate extra land, you know what the starting point is, you know what the district is saying it has to deliver in the town, and if you want to allocate extra on top, you can do. But there's no requirement on neighbourhood plans to accommodate that level of housing. So it's really just a reference figure. But what they're asking is, do you think it should include the windfalls or exclude the windfalls?
What's a windfall?
So a windfall is something that comes through random houses that get delivered, like, you know, when someone, you know, puts a house on the end of a terrace because they've got big garden, or they tend to be sort of infill plots, or as Alison Greenhouse used to say, and Vivian de Val Steele, they used to say garden grabbing plots, you know, where people,
yeah.
people, you know, they'll get planning permission to build a house in their garden. Those sorts of things tend to be windfalls. And you'd be surprised at how many windfall developments
we get a lot.
But what they're saying is, you know, because of the unpredictability of that, should they include them or exclude them?
Include them.
You think they should include them?
Yeah, I was just going to agree with the general opinion there, and I think the reason for that is when we look back 15, 20 years, when they were definitely excluded, we had all this building in Exmouth going on, and it wasn't actually accounted for, and it should be.
Okay, that's fine.
Cool.
Okay.
So, what's the next one?
So, Clyst Valley Regional Park, the consultation seeking feedback on the boundary. I mean, I don't feel that that's something I'm qualified to comment on. The fifth area is the town centre and retail policy. So, the policy's already been consulted on and we commented on it. What they're looking for now is feedback on the associated boundaries. Now, in Exmouth, what they're saying is that the town centre area is basically pretty much what you would perceive the town centre is in Exmouth at the moment, but it includes a little bit of land around the leisure centre where Marks and Spencer's is, and it actually includes the car park behind the Magnolia Centre. That's the town centre area. The proposed shopping area is pretty much where you see the shops in Exmouth. They're not recommending anything revolutionary, really. They're just mapping where they think that their retail policy needs to apply, their town centre and retail policy.
Great.
And it all looks perfectly logical to me. I can't see that there's anything contentious about it. Has anybody had a chance to look at it? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the next thing is the coastal preservation area and the green wedges. So in respect of the coastal preservation area, what they're asking is whether the coastal preservation area boundaries, whether we think that the boundaries are correct, and whether they should include any proposed development sites, regardless of whether those development sites are preferred sites or second choice sites. Now, in Exmouth, again, the proposals that they're making in terms of the coastal preservation area boundary looks quite logical to me. They are extending it. The one area of contention, which we know that a couple of residents have picked up on, is that site behind Capel Lane, Exmo 17, which is in the on the border of the AONB, they're asking whether we think that the CPA boundary should be redrawn to exclude that proposed development site, or whether they should stick to the proposed boundary, which basically cuts that development site in half. Now, to my mind, the whole point of having the CPA boundaries extended is to afford the protection from development.
Yeah.
So why would you agree with redrawing that boundary when on the one hand they've made a recommendation to extend the CPA, and then on the other hand they're saying, but do you want us to reduce the extent of land that's covered by the CPA to allow a development site on the back of Capel Lane?
No, we don't.
I think we should say that we think the CPA boundary should take priority. Okay. Because they do say that the main purpose of the CPA is to protect the undeveloped coastline.
Yeah.
So it's rather contradictory if they then say that they're going to allow a development site to come forward within an area that they've decided to designate. And there's a similar story with the green wedges in that... the green wedge boundaries, which again they've extended, and I know there's some confusion around the extent to which green wedges can be used to protect land from development. I know Woodbury councillors are quite hot under the collar at the moment about green wedges, because I think they don't realise that there are alternative designations that would afford the protection that they're looking for. But in terms of green wedges, the green wedge policy is there to prevent the coalescence of development. It serves a very distinct purpose, And they are proposing to extend it quite significantly on the fringes of Exmouth and Limpsden. There's a whole chunk that's been added in. But again, what they're saying is there's one site within that Green Wedge boundary where the boundary goes through a proposed development site. And I'm assuming that you'll take the same view as the CPA, that we don't think that the Green Wedge boundary should be redrawn to accommodate a proposed development site, that the boundary should take priority?
Yes.
Yeah. It is, it's just south of Cortlands Lane. It's quite far down towards Slipperstone Manor, and it's a tiny site, actually, just south of Cortlands Lane. That's the only one that's within our parish.
It's not in our parish because the boundary, our Holston boundary, goes up Cortlands Lane.
Yeah, no, it is. It is in. It's south. It's south of the boundary. It is. But it is with it. But it is within the CPA designated area.
Yeah, it's not allowed to build there.
Is that the plot of land where we had an actual planning application? A lot of people from that area came to oppose it.
So are we happy to go with what Lisa says and to think that the Green Wedge boundary again should take priority?
The final thing is the sustainability appraisal, where they've basically looked at each of these seven new consultation areas, and then they've extended the sustainability appraisal that they did as part of the first round of consultation to sort of cross-reference each of these new sites, allocations, proposals. So they've updated the sustainability appraisal to make sure that all of these new components are covered. It was 176 pages, so I have to confess I didn't read it word for word. But it is in compliance with the original sustainability appraisal, which we commented on. So I'm guessing everybody's happy with that.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, thank you all
very much. That is all. Just to remind you, so the deadline for comments is the 27th of June, so I'll submit those comments. And then the timetable for the local plan, they're saying that the final Reg 19 version should go to Strategic Planning Committee in November.
And you'll set up a meeting for us?
There'll be a public plan consultation between December and January, so it's going to be over Christmas again. Which they're saying is unavoidable because the absolute deadline for submission for examination is May 2025. It'll be out for examination through 25-26 and it'll be adopted by the end of 2026. So I think the next thing that we need to do is get our ducks in order in terms of the proposed development sites. So I'll organise those meetings and then we can start getting our evidence together. And we do have the housing needs assessment, which will help, I think, inform some of that discussion. So,
Right.
Okay.
Can
I just ask you?
Yeah.
What's happened to the piece of land behind McCarthy's Stone, which they were going to build small, offices?
Little industrial units.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they should be going ahead.
Yeah.
But they were going to turn that over to
East Devon.
Mm.
I don't know.
We can find that out.
We can find that out.
Okay then.
I think the logical thing is that they have to provide those industrial units to satisfy the employment land requirement on that site. But McCarthy and Stone aren't really qualified, are they, to manage employment industrial units? Which is why
I think the
proposal was made that they'd be handed over to East Devon.
I don't think it doesn't sound right. A developer has given the right to build, and then he's building something on the back to make it right, because that was...
Don't get me started on this one, mate. I'm entirely with you, don't get me started.
You know where I'm going.
I know what you're saying. Right, we can carry this on in a second if we want, but just to say, we haven't yet decided, there isn't yet a date for the next meeting.
No, so can I just say, the date of the next meeting is actually the 22nd of July? I think it's festival weekend.
Right.
Oh.
And we will be, on the Monday, we will be heavily involved, all the staff will be heavily involved in takedown. So when I looked at the date, I just thought that's a disaster from a staffing point of view. So that's why I've said to be decided, because I just wanted to say, if it's possible, would you mind if I move the date?
And then would your preference... we can decide that you move it to wherever's best.
Would your preference be for a date later in July? I don't know, you know, maybe the following week. It might not. We might not be able to accommodate it on the Monday because of planning. We do have a date in the diary for August, but August isn't always a popular date because of holidays. So what would your preference be for us to get a date in the diary sometime in July? Mm-hmm. Or
if
to...
You move it till later in July and cancel the August one?
Yes.
Yep.
Happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely
okay.
Fine.
Thank you
very much,
everyone.
Thank
you.